WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. About 3,500 babies die every year in their sleep, according to the Centers for Disease Control. About a third of those deaths occur in cases where parents were bed sharing with their newborns. NJ Advance Media has published a chilling investigation now about this phenomenon affecting parents from New Jersey and also all across the country. Joining us now is Susan Livio, State House reporter for NJ Advance Media, which includes the Star Ledger and NJ.com. It revolves around the story of a woman who lost three children over 11 years while bed sharing, which prompted an investigative project into the controversial but pretty common practice that has fierce defenders who say to blame bed sharing is inaccurate and misses the point. Let's see how much and for whom there are race and class as well as lifestyle choices here. Welcome to WNYC, Susan.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Tell us about Mikhail Jordan, the central person in your story.
Sure. Mikhail is someone that had to be coaxed to talk with me. I received a tip about the death of her son, Jalan, or his nickname is JoJo, and it took many months speaking with members of her family to speak with me. And at the end of the day, it was a situation in which she really wanted to tell her side of the story that, you know, she didn't, there was no intent behind the deaths of her three children, that there were specific circumstances, but tying them all together is that they were sharing a bed.
And why didn't she change that practice after the first death or the second death of one of her own babies? Did she not think that was causing them?
The first baby died in 2004, and when she asked what happened, she was told, it's a SIDS, a sudden infant death syndrome. There's nothing you could have done. And there was no discussion about the fact that she, that the baby was placed with her husband and another sibling. She had been sleeping in another room because she had a cold. When she went and checked on the child was dead. And at no time, that she can recall, or members of her family can recall, was there a discussion at that bed sharing? So I think, based on our conversations, I think she took that as a tragedy, a mystery.
And the second one?
And then, second one. What happened was, it was a very hot August night. There was one air conditioner in the apartment where she was living with her children and her boyfriend at the time. She had separated from her husband. And she brought the air conditioning into the living room where there were two couches. And she put herself, you know, her husband and the baby on the couches. And during the evening, you know, as they fell asleep, her nephew, almost 2 years old, came in to lay with them. And when the family woke up, the baby was on top of a pillow, which was on top of their baby, their son, and he was dead.
I want to go right to the race and class issues here. You write, infant suffocation rates are more than 3 times higher among Black families and more than 2 times higher among Hispanic families. Is that to say that bed sharing or certain ways of bed sharing are a poverty issue?
Partly. I mean, you can't deny the statistics. What often happens is, perhaps with Jordan, it was a family in crisis between jobs, poor. She thought, I guess, that they were doing the best they could. But there's a lot of other reasons why people bed share that have nothing to do with class. It's more of a cultural decision. There was an interesting study done out of Maryland, where there was a focus group among DC moms, and they explained that they felt like their babies were safer with them in their bed because they were afraid of vermin or bullets. You know, it was, you know, they made a conscious decision mm-hmm. because they felt like it was safer. So you have a situation where class and economics definitely plays a role, but like I said, there's a cultural philosophy that's quite popular that says, well, people in other countries do this all the time, and they have low infant mortality rates. Why shouldn't we?
Right. So protecting from vermin or bullets, I mean, that is a choice related to poverty, safety, as you say. But there's another
Absolutely.
Group of people, more middle-class or upper-class people, who bed share as a lifestyle choice because they think it's just right and natural to sleep with your baby, part of what's sometimes called attachment parenting, partly so babies can nurse on demand at the beginning of their lives, things like that. So there are these various groups of people who bed share.
That's absolutely true. And I have to say there is a vocal group of parents on social media who are very upset that we would conflate the two, that, you know, the issues around parents, you know, and it just so happens when the third baby died, the father had been smoking marijuana that day, and the mother had gone out for a rare night of, you know, drinking with friends and family. So there was alcohol and drugs involved, and they were sharing a bed. And those are big risks that parents are advised never to take. But the parents that have read my story feel like they know how to make it safe. And why didn't we write a story about safe bed sharing?
So let me jump right in there, because we have to take a break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about that specifically. We'll follow up on whether there is such a thing as safe bed sharing versus unsafe bed sharing, what those techniques might be, as well as the distribution of so-called baby boxes that's taking place in some communities. And listeners, we can take a couple of phone calls on this. For Susan Livio, State House reporter for the Star-Ledger, NJ.com, who wrote this story focusing on one family in particular, but then the larger issue of 3,500 babies who die in their sleep, according to the Center for Disease Control, and about a third of those deaths in cases where parents were bed sharing with their newborns. 212-433-WNYC. If you have anything to say or ask, 212-433-9692, and we'll continue right after this. Lara, WNYC, with Susan Livio from the Star-Ledger, who wrote that story we've been discussing about bed sharing. So is there such a thing as safe or safer bed sharing? Are there techniques that parents who are doing it consciously learn?
The short answer, when you're talking to scientists, public health professionals, is no. There is no foolproof way where you could avoid all the risks. And what I've also encountered, pediatricians who have tried to deliver that message, and it, not being well received. So they've worked with parents to try to make it as safe as possible. And so there's definitely certain things that if you're going to do this, even while you're breastfeeding, that you should definitely steer clear of. There shouldn't be any pillows in the bed, blankets, sheets. You know, the baby, if you're concerned about the baby's temperature, they could wear a sleep sack. It's a wearable blanket. They're sold everywhere. The parents should not smoke in the house. They should not have had anything to drink or be on any medication or taking any drugs. Even a baby hat is not a good idea. Overheating is another risk factor when babies die.
Devorah in Highland Park. You're on WNYC. Hi, Devorah.
Hi. So my story is we always allowed our children to come into our bed. When they were infants, I had a bassinet right next to my side. And since I nursed, sometimes I would bring them, you know, right into my bed and was so tired I couldn't put them back into the bassinet. But always I had them on my side, not next to my husband. And anyways, when my son was about four, my youngest son, he came into our bed and he started to shake. And I thought he was cold, so I just put the covers on him and hugged him. And he kept shaking and shaking and shaking. And I turned on the lights and I realized his eyes were rolled in the back of his head and he was having a full grand mal seizure. And we had to call the ambulance. The seizure lasted on record for 28 minutes. They had to take him to the hospital. And they said that if he hadn't been in our bed, he would have died. You know, and so I am very grateful.
So there's a case where bed sharing saved a baby's life.
And now my son is 26 years old, and he's fine and healthy, thank God.
Deborah, you know. Thank you very much. Olivia?
I would like to add that the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends keeping the bassinet next to the bed for the first 6 months, if not 12 months of life. After a year, you know, the recommendations are different. It's when the baby is an infant, under a year old, they're most vulnerable.
Tell us about the distribution of so-called baby boxes. What are those exactly for people who don't know, and where do they come into this story?
Well, it is what the name implies. It's a laminated bassinet size box with a mattress and a fitted sheet. And in order for a parent to get a free one, they have to watch some videos that are produced through Baby Box University, a company that is supplying, you know, the main supplier of these baby boxes. So there's an education component. In January, New Jersey became the first state that attempted to do a statewide distribution. And as of early September, 25,000 have been distributed. There are some caveats with this that the Consumer Product Safety Commission and the American Academy of Pediatrics says there's no scientific evidence that these are safe. And right now, Baby Box University is working to develop standards so they would be able to meet the bassinet standard. But, you know, there's no reports yet of a child being injured using a baby box. And they're certainly a good alternative to someone placing a child on a couch, you know, where a child could roll. So I've spoken to some parents who use them, and they like them, and they're excited about it, and they see the utility.
We've just got about a minute and a half left. What do you hope comes of your story? We see that it's getting shared a lot on social media. It was a long investigation. It took 2 years. Maybe you want to tell us why a story on something that seems straightforward would have taken 2 years, and what you hope will come of it. It does seem to be leading to a kind of divided response. People saying, don't tell me that sleeping with my baby is wrong. Sleeping with my baby is right, and I know how to do it safely, and don't give this a bad reputation. and others who are saying, boy, this really needs more exposure because babies are dying from this.
Right. So the reporting began 2 years ago, just a few days after JoJo died. I received a tip from folks who are familiar with the case and the fact that there was a call to the child abuse hotline from the hospital where he was born saying, you know, this mom has a history of bed sharing and a fatality. You know, you should be aware of that. And the state did not follow up. There was no case that was opened. They simply filed the information. So, you know,
and
the
we have
story
20 seconds.
Sure, sure. What I hope comes from this is that that the child welfare system becomes more transparent, that there is a discussion among hospitals and doctors how to get parenting education out there because people are still really confused.
Susan Livio, State House reporter for NJ Advance Media, which includes the Star Ledger and NJ.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'll be off the next 2 days for the Jewish holiday. Kai Wright will be here tomorrow and Friday. He's great. Listen to Kai Wright next 2 days and have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday.